This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But right now we need to be winning games of football, and two from two, you can't ask much more from Neil Harris. Moving on to Tuesday, gentlemen, with a visit to Ewood Park, Blackburn. Someone's put their American Rover. One word applies to Tuesday's game versus Blackburn: revenge.
It does.
Completely different circumstances, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if Neil Harris doesn't try and tap into, because Neil Harris would have been well aware, he would have been looking at that final game of the Championship season last year and wanting Millwall to get in the playoffs, no doubt about it. And I don't necessarily think it's going to have too much of a bearing on the game, but Harris will draw on that, I'm sure. What do you think?
1,000,000%. I wouldn't be surprised if he's played them the full 90-minute game from start to finish, without a doubt, because it showed... That game showed the mentality issues. It showed the fitness levels. It showed the lack of belief from going up 3-1. And then, you know, they start to come back in the game. The belief end up on its arse. I think that game itself, even without playing Blackburn, is a perfect game to show the players on what we need to do, how we need to keep our mentality intact, the belief that we need to have, how to defend, how to not let our heads drop. I think it's a perfect game to show them any time of the season, to be honest with you. No Red Bull, Dan. I'm telling you, there's no Red Bull. I think it's a perfect game to show them at any time of the season to help them show what happens when you do lose focus and you lose attention to detail. So, yeah, in that sense, though, with it being Blackburn and with it being a six-pointer, like Joe said, Harris is going to have that out. I wouldn't be surprised if he had commentary blaring over the speakers in the fitness room of the goal. You know, I think he really will, because he's like that, Harris. He's a bit of a shithouse, Harris, in our favour, but also to help G the players up. So yeah, the players will be fully aware of what happened last time, and they'll be fully aware what the game plan is to stop it happening again.
Joe, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've played two tougher teams, haven't we? And we've won both those games. With greatest respect to Blackburn, yeah, they're not that good. You know, they're are they still got their manager, John Dulles, and what his John name is?
No. It's Eustace, isn't it?
Was he? Okay, see, I quite rate Eustace, so I'm surprised he ain't doing better with them at the moment. But I mean, the last sort of six games, I think they've won, I think they've drawn a couple and lost a few. So, you know, anything can happen on Tuesday night. They could, you know, spring a surprise and that beating us. But I think we're going to the right mentality. I know it sounds a bit negative here, what I'm going to say, but we go in there thinking we must not get beat. Defend as well as we can and try and nick a goal, which I'm sure we can do. I can't see us why we can't go up there and get a result against Blackburn. You know, like I said, we played against two tougher teams in Southampton and Watford, and I reckon our players would have learnt a lot from those two games. I think their confidence would be a lot higher from those two wins, and then suddenly you're playing against a slightly weaker opposition, where you're going to think, actually, you know what? We could have a go here. We could probably hurt these guys a bit more. You know, we're not having to kind of defend for our lives for 90-odd, 95 minutes, you know? So it'd be interesting how we get on. But more importantly, we can't concede. If we nick a goal and we get our nose in front, then hopefully we could go on to win sort of 2-0, 3-0. Obafemi will be a lot more fitter for it as well. You know, those minutes in the bank would have done a world against Watford. And I'm feeling quietly confident, and I hope we'll do really well against them. I'm sure we will.
I have a brilliant question from Finn, the commentary fan. This is outstanding. And I don't know if you've have you seen it, Joe? Have you seen what I'm going to, or Jay, either of you? No. Right. So, Jay, I'm going to come to you first, and I just want an answer, just straight from you and then straight
gut
to
answer,
Joe.
Yeah. All
right. Gut answer when you see this. Would you have rather beaten Blackburn last season or now?
Oh, wow. Wow. That's awful. Now.
Joe?
Now.
I would have said last season. Because I truly believe, having beaten Blackburn and got into the playoff, and I think we'd have won the playoffs. No disrespect to Finn, they're at Coventry are a great side, and they did really well last season as well. But I just think the way... Yeah, the way we were playing that kind of playoff tournament, I think I would have fancied our chances under Rowett to go and win that. If we lose against Blackburn Tuesday, it's not the end of the world. You know, we could still win against Birmingham. We've still got more points to play for. So I probably go against what Jay was saying there, and I'll go for last season instead.
Right, see, I do agree that I would have won to beat Blackburn last year. But the gut reaction to that question with the situation we're in
now, yeah,
that's in the past now. So,
yeah,
gun to my head, if I could replay both at the same time, yes, Blackburn then. But no, for me, right now, beat Blackburn now and pull out of this bloody race as quick as possible.
That's a great comment there. We need to kick Sammy in the Smodics. Brilliant, brilliant.
He worries me. He scares me. He really does.
He does, but and there's another comment that's coming up that Blackburn have played a lot of minutes. They Newcastle in the cup, went to penalties. They've obviously played yesterday, so they've had an extra game this week as such. Mm-hmm. And Smodics did have an injury in that cup game. I know he played over the weekend, but is he going to be able to get, you know, it's a lot of minutes. You know, there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Isn't he top goal scorer in the championship this season?
I believe he is. I think he's
got 17.
Yeah, I think he's got, and including cup games as well, I think he's got 25 across the board.
Ridiculous.
So
his pace worries me. Mm. With Cooper's pace and Tanganga, he does worry me, but he's the only person I'm worried about. So
I agree with Andrew's comment there as well. These are the games we can sort of slip up, you know, that sort of sound too negatively. You know, we look at teams that are on a poor run of form and not winning games, suddenly, you know, we grot them. Their wishes, don't we, sometimes. So we've got to go in there with the right mindset. We've got to treat everything as a cup final, as we have done. If we get a draw against Blackburn and we draw 0-0, is that a bad result? Do you see that as a bad result against another team that's struggling with us at the moment?
I'll be honest with you. I'm going to Ewood Park on Tuesday. And if you offered me 0-0 right now, As sad as it is to be travelling all that way, I would probably take it. I would probably take it. Only on the basis, and I know you can't always think this way, but with the fixtures how they are, I don't think you can clip this as well, because this is probably going to make me look really stupid come Wednesday evening. I can't see all of the teams continuing to win their fixtures.
I agree.
This week. So if you offered me a point, I would take it on the basis that I don't think we'll drop into the bottom three with a point.
One or two teams will slip up, and I'm sure they will do it over the course of the next five games. Yeah, you'll get one or two teams. It just seems a bit weird at the moment when you look at the form table. Everyone's winning. You know, the only teams that are probably losing games are the top teams, like Southampton and Leicester at the moment, which is fucking really weird, you know. But that ain't going to last forever, and that will change, and those teams down there will start losing games again. We just got to make sure it's not us. You know, if that's Blackburn or Birmingham that end up, or Stoke end up losing points or you know, losing games, then that's where it's going to turn out. Then great, I'm all for that, you know.
100%. Jay, before I just come to you on that question, 4 points from Blackburn and Birmingham are taking a heartbeat given Leeds the week after. I was going to say, if we get a point...
Leeds, fucking hell, yeah.
If we get a point at Blackburn, that needs to be followed up with three on Saturday. That's the kind of caveat I would add to that. Would you take that Would you be happy, or are you? Because I could the look on your face is kind of suggesting that you want to go to Blackburn and win. What are you thinking?
I think if you had a gun to my head and said 4 points this week, great, I would take that. But if you have to win one of them, you can't go seven. You can't go to Blackburn, get a draw, other teams around us win, and then that puts the pressure on the Birmingham game so much more. It really does. So I think if you get the win on Tuesday night, and then on Saturday, and the results go, you know, because they're playing some really tough games this week. And then we could take a draw against Birmingham. If that's how it played out, I want to win both games. And we should go to Blackburn for the win. But points are points. We're not going to win every game. We know that. So we can't be disheartened. But as long as we put in more points than the teams around us, I don't care how it comes. I would take 12 draws now, 11 draws, as long as that betters QPR, Stoke, and however. So I think it depends on the results from the other teams before I go looking for a draw. But in the 90th minute, the 80th minute, if it's 0-0 and teams around us losing, I'd then want Harris to probably shut up shop and go, do you know what, this would be a good point. I think it determines how the game's going in real time. But yeah, I'm not one for looking to go for draws, to be honest. So
to simplify things a little bit as well, is like, what do we need? Like, we're on 39 points. Yeah, we're saying 50 will probably give us safety. Let's argue one or two points out, maybe. So if we get a draw against Blackburn, if we win against Birmingham on Saturday, and we get a draw away to Leeds, which will be a tough ask, but listen, we've beaten Southampton away, so why can't we draw against Leeds away in a big game like that? That's suddenly 5 points. That's 5 points with 8 games left of the season, which means we then need to get 6 points from the last 8 games, which is, you know, 2 wins or a win and a few draws. So 5 points isn't the end of the world. So we don't beat Blackburn, we get a draw against Blackburn, it's not the end of the world. However, if we beat Blackburn away on Tuesday and we win against Birmingham, against the teams that are in and around us at the moment, then fucking great, you know?
Look, win our home games, Joe. That's the bottom line. Yeah. Win our home games, go away to these teams. And you know, if you get a point, you get a point. But we've seen the mantra for how it's going to be at away games. It's going to be, if you can come and beat us, you can have 3 points.
To your point there, Joe, I absolutely agree with you. Win our home games. But what's really interesting is that, you know, I talked to my Watford mate yesterday, and I said to him, out of curiosity, who you say was our best player? Thinking he might mention, I don't know, Fleming or Billy Mitchell or Norton Cuffield. You know who he picked out? I'll let you both pick one.
Well, who we think he said? Oh, yeah.
This is a Watford fan watching the game. Was there yesterday. I asked him, who you say is our best player?
George Saville, I think he's
you reckon
say.
George Saville? What do you reckon, Stephen?
Oh, it's one or two. I'm going to go with Ryan Leonard.
Ryan Leonard, interesting you say that. So the best player he fought that we had, which was a bit of a shocker, and bear in mind, I respect my mate because he goes to a lot of football, he knows his stuff, yeah? He picked out Jake Cooper. And he added to that, he said, you know what? He goes, he just fucking won every fucking header, didn't he? I was like, what do you mean?
You say that, Joe. Harris said something in his presser about Cooper, saying, I think he won like 17 or 18 headers or something. And it was like, apparently Harris joked and said, that's going to be by far and away the most in the country.
Really? That's interesting.
So yeah, that's a great point. That's good analysis.
My mate Ricky said to me, he said, he basically added to that. He said, mate, he goes, he won every fucking header. I said, everything we put in, he was there. He won every header. We couldn't get around. Couldn't beat him. And it was just so interesting because we don't really, okay, yes, we know what Jake's about and his qualities, but I think for so long, we've had so much, I don't know, not hate for Jake Cooper, but he's had a lot of stick, you know, in the last few months and the way he's been playing and costing us and all stuff. But it's interesting when you've got an away supporter and looking at him thinking, if it wasn't for that player, we'd probably have beaten Millwall, you know.
Do you know what that says to me as well, though, Joe, is that, we really were under the cosh.
Yeah,
for that game as well. That's what that says to me as well. Because our attacking players didn't stand out because we didn't create much because we were so far under it. Jake Cooper's won everything, and he's on the ball a lot more than everyone else.
And who got man of the match? Was it Saville? I think it got it.
Yeah, it was Saville. Yeah. Yeah.
Saville got the man of the match. And what was interesting, the last game against Southampton, who was our man of the match? It was Tanganga, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
So we've got our two centre-halves that have won man of the match our last two games. That says a lot about how we're set up, how we're playing at the moment, you know. And I think we've got a, you know, we talk about building the team around Fleming and doing all this at the moment. Forget all that. We've got a, we, our defence is what's going to win us these games and get us through this, this period and get us to safety, you know. And like I said, for a Watford fan who picked out Jake Cooper as our best player and was frustrated that they couldn't score because he basically stopped everything that went in the box, says a lot about how important he is to our team at the moment, you know. And I, absolutely, for one, hold my hand up, wanting him dropped a few games ago. Yeah. I was saying, get Jake Cooper out.
I was with you there. I was with you there. And Barry, guys, you are talking like the next two games are must win. This could go down to the last game of the season. It really could. It could. If we don't win at Blackburn, it's not going to be game over. We're relegated, right? We're throwing the towel. That's not what we're saying. But with the form of the teams around us, it's looking like that we are going to need to go to places like Blackburn and get a result. So it's not must win. I wouldn't say Birmingham is must win on Saturday, although I do think there's a lot more pressure on your home games that we've already mentioned.
But Barry, would you rather us get some form of safety in the next sort of few games rather than wait until the last couple of games? I hear what you're saying, and it probably will go down to the wire, but that's probably the worst situation to be in. You're literally throwing a dice in, aren't you? You know, having a pop again.
I'm not on the spice or the red bull.
I'll be passing it.
Oh, no, Jay, no. That was Joe.
It's good shit.
You're out of it, Jay. You're out.
Oh, no, thank you.
It's because I'm sorry. No. If you hear what Dan say, he goes, Joe, your pal has been on the spice, has he?
Yeah, the Watford fan.
I'm so used to Dan just saying that. Jay's on the Red Bull. Jay's on the spice. I'm like, got a compulsion for it now. I'm like, Dan's saying it again. I'm on.
he might have been Dan, but like I said, he was there. He watched it. And fair play to people.
It's good analysis because it's how the game panned out as well. And it does worry me that when that happens. I mean, I remember when, you know, Bart won Player of the Year. That concerns me when keepers or defenders win, because it tells you you're under the cosh all the time, you know. So, yeah, it's concerning playing.
Good
like
point
that
from Charlie there as well, Stephen.
Yeah, 100%. I'd say Cooper picks up when he has a run of games with his partner, i.e. Hutchinson and Tanganga. Mm, yeah. Completely different players in Hutch and Tanganga, by the way. They're just contrasting styles completely. But I think Cooper needs someone around him, next to him, that guides him through the game of football, which sounds really stupid. He's a great, you know, as a grown professional footballer.
Well.
Yeah. But he's not. We all know he's only captain because he's the longest serving player and he's played countless games. I saw a stat the other day as well. He's 9 appearances away from being in the top 10 of all time appearance Millwall holders players. For the club. Yeah, really? Of Millwall players. Yeah,
it?
And he's only about 20 odd from breaking, like pushing himself even further up the list as well. So,
and age wise, how old is he now, Jake? Is it 28? I think 28.
Yeah, he's
be much older than that.
So he's got about another 3 years of playing championship football if we're still there, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, talking about player of the season, talking about, performances, this Chris has put here, Honeyman,
he's
to
29.
Me, is on for player of the season.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to
throw a name into the hat. I didn't mention this guy earlier. There was a comment that I'd gone past, but I wanted to. For me, our player of the season, if he remains fit for the majority of the games for the rest of the season, is Ryan Leonard.
When you say fit, as in not injured?
Yeah, Ryan Leonard.
Yeah,
for me, he has been absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. I saw a couple of people. Leonard was Millwall's representative in the London Awards. He was the player that was nominated for the club. And I saw people going, oh, Leonard, he's terrible, he's this, that and the other, and really hammered that it was him that was chosen. And if you think about it, over the last season, when Leonard has played in this team, we are a better team, whether he's asked to play in midfield, whether he's asked to play at centre-back, whether he's asked to play at right-back, right-wing-back, he'll play anywhere for the team. And I don't get me wrong, Chris, I think George Honeyman has been superb. I think Norton Cuffey was up before his injury, was up there in the running as well. But I think it's going to take a lot for Leonard to be taken off that top spot. And for me, will be a shoo-in, regardless of who the manager is, to be offered a new deal before the end of the season.
I tend to agree with that. I thought earlier stages of the season, I thought Norton Cuffey made a real good run at having a shot at Player of the Year. But yeah, I mean, Ryan Leonard is just the perfect player. You know, he can play everywhere. He seems like a good dressing room guy, you know, a good guy to have around the club. He just epitomises everything that we're trying to do as a football club. So, yeah, Ryan Leonard for me, 100%, because he just cracks on. There's no emotion from Ryan Leonard in terms of moaning about anything. He just gets on with his job and he does it to the best of his ability every single time.
Sorry, sorry to interrupt you, Joe. Just saw Barry's comment there. Barry, mate.
That's why I've left it there.
Are you having a joke when you say you had a heart attack, or did you literally have a heart attack in that game, mate? I mean, if you did, obviously, I'm sorry. I hope you're okay now.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I mean, fuck me. That's a little reminder to a lot of us when we get a little bit excited in games sometimes, don't we? And our emotions get the better of us. It just goes to show you life's too short, you know, and we all want to win football games. We want to make sure Mill do really well. But, Barry, mate, hope you're right, mate, if that is the case.
Yeah, and, hope all's well now, and that's in the past. And
hopefully we put the relegation fight to bed early, mate, so that you don't the risk isn't raised for you, mate.
Well, that's it. Less pressure on the old tickety-boo, yeah.
But I think, going back, as I say, I think that's a really important thing there, Joe, to say that, you know, we're all passionate fans. We all want Millwall to win games of football, but first and foremost, you know, hope everyone's okay. You know, safety comes first and health comes first and things like that. Barry, there's a comment coming up. I'll read it out now. I've seen it, Barry's, but I did. I held up the kickoff. Fine now, thanks.
Right. So it was your fucking fault, Barry. But I missed a train on that day. Fucking hell, Barry. You're so selfish, honestly. Am I joking, mate? I hope you're okay. Also,
I was just about to boot you out of the stream there, Joe, by the way, just for that slander on a listener.
Alex, I think it's Alex S, mentioned earlier in the comments there that Coops, for him, plays better in a back four as opposed to a back three. And I completely agree. You know, again, it's square pegs, round holes, isn't it? And he does look so much more comfortable in a tight back four. We're not asking him to cover fucking, you know, the flanks and area, wide areas and stuff like that, or play with the ball at his feet. So, it's definitely helping him.
100%. Michael, it probably was your comment about Leonard being class. I thought I'd starred it, but I hadn't. But that prompted me to come back to him because we hadn't spoke about him yet. I knew someone had, but I wasn't sure if it was him. There's a lot of people saying sort of Honeyman and Leonard are the two that are now sort of leading contenders. Agree, said it last week. If Leonard had stayed after Blackpool, we'd have got to the playoffs. That was, again, without going back to last season, missing Leonard for that game against Blackburn was a big, big blow. And again, it just goes to show how important he's been to this side and why he was given that contract by Rowett at the, you know, and there was talk, wasn't there, that he wasn't sure if he was going to sign. He's probably had a reduced term or reduced money or pay as you play. I don't know what they.
You know what, Stephen? But I would love to know a stat. Maybe this is one for Chaps to do on his next chat with Chaps. He hasn't recorded it already. I'm going to see if he can add it into his chat with Chaps this week. But I would love to know how many points per game we have achieved when Ryan Leonard plays against when he doesn't play. Whether that makes any real difference.
Chaps has put out his video. That means that Joe hasn't watched it. For those of you who haven't, Chat with Chaps is live on the YouTube channel. Really, really good insight. He pulls up a lot of stats and data about the style of football, Jake Cooper, and lots of really good stuff. So if you haven't checked that out, please go and do so. I'm on my Mickey spiel now. If you could please like this video, subscribe, all of the usual jazz. Before we carry on with the show, obviously all of us really appreciate the support that you're showing us. Again, a lot of your comments
and donate to Mickey's Just Fans page, which is the reason why he's done his neck in, trying to perform some acrobatic requests by one of his fans, one of his listeners.
Again, I'm not speculating. I'm going to let everyone else do that. But guys, we really appreciate your comments and your likes and getting involved with us. Obviously, a lot of your comments have led to topics of conversation for us to talk about. So really, really appreciate it. There's been a few comments about the lookalike thing. I might save that for when Mickey's back. No. I might save that for, because we said on Friday. No, we said on Friday that we were going to do a lookalikes competition. But Mickey, sorry guys, with the in the chat, if you've got it, can you please save them for when Mickey is here? Because I am not going to let him get away with it. Because Jay and I are going to get absolutely hammered by it, and he's going to get off scot free. So we'll wait for him. We're not going to do that tonight. We'll save that for the next show. Danny Mack for player of the year, especially if he stays the course at left back. Interesting. I don't know if he's played a lot of football.
I mean, to his defence, though, Stephen, there's still, 11 games left to play. If he plays every single game and carries on the form he's been playing, then why not? You know?
We can't plan a future around injury-prone players like Leonard. The playoff game should have proved that. We need to move on from them. Look, I understand that comment, Tunbridge, MFC, and I really do. I get what you're saying. But the only thing that concerns me with, again, I don't want to talk too much about the summer because we're in the here and now, but we're going to lose 10 players, 5 out of contract, 5 on loan. A club with our financial commitments, especially if we drop down to League One, but a club in our position, we might have to offer a couple of contracts. And for me, Leonard would be the obvious candidate to be the first one to do that.
Do you know why I would as well? Because his versatility, he covers 3 or 4 positions as well, which keeps money in the bank because you've got someone who can fill in a cam in centre midfield, at right back, centre back. So, Leonard, for me, if he can prove that he's fit and he stays fit to the end of the season, he's probably the first person I'll offer a deal to be honest.
Yeah. Go on.
That stat, you asked for it. Leonard, win percentage with 36, mate. Without 13.
So win percentage with 36, without 13. Fucking hell.
I mean, I don't like either of them, but as a personal thing for Ryan Leonard, that's our
situation, OJ, given where we are in the league and how we've really struggled this year so far, we haven't had many wins.
No,
that's a massive, massive difference. That just goes to show you how important Ryan Leonard's been to our team, our defence.
Splitting off. It's literally, it really is. Lose half more games.
So what does that tell us? That tells us we've got to keep fucking Ryan Leonard. Leonard fit. Definitely. Now, I don't know how you can work that, because ultimately you need him on the pitch for us to win games. All I'd say is that maybe if we do end up being 2-0 up against Blackburn or Birmingham Saturday next week, do we take him off, rest him and just wrap him cotton wool a little bit,
100%.
There was that mistake we made last time, wasn't it, Jay? Where was it, the cup game against Leicester? When we played him and Hutch, I think.
And Hutch really got injured. There was a few players that got injured there, and there was no need to play him.
No.
But I totally agree with you. We need to keep legs fresh.
Him. Yeah.
Big time. Especially someone like Ryan Leonard. Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Because I tell you what, losing Bradshaw is bad, and losing one or two other players is bad. But I tell you what, we lose Ryan Leonard at the moment. And I think that, not just us, I think the fucking players will probably feel like, what the fuck? You know? Yeah. And it's psychologically, it would absolutely ruin us, wouldn't it?
He's a big player in that
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And just on the back of what you said there, Joe, comment from Charlie, do we think we've seen the end of Bradshaw now? It would be a shame for Tom Bradshaw to bow out of the club the way it looks like it's going to be. I would be personally amazed if Tom Bradshaw is a Millwall player come the summer. I just can't see it, which is a real shame. There's a few more comments coming in, but there's one I've just seen from Michael. And again, I'm going to invite you both to say something off the back of this. It's appreciated when you read some of the comments, just so we feel involved, because we do invest all we can in our team, including podcasts. So thanks for acknowledging some of the better ones, guys. Michael, I agree 100% with that.
Definitely.
We as lads that do this podcast, we love our team. We do it because we enjoy it, but we're nothing without having interaction from you, from everybody, whether it's taking the piss out of what we look like or what we say or our opinions, or Jay on his Red Bulls, or Joe on the spice,
or Terry just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you know? All this stuff. We really, really appreciate the support. And as I say, I've put every comment up on the screen. It's not that I don't value any more than the others. There's certain ones that we can pick out that are really good topics, and others, as I say, we try to show them all. But thank you very much for the support. And then the next one, Mickey, Uncle Fester. Mickey looks like the bloke who used to be fan on the board. Greg Wallace.
Lads, keep these ones safe. Don't ruin them now. Keep them safe.
I don't want to know.
Write them down. Put them in a little pad. I don't know. Do what you...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What you've got to do, just don't fucking forget those ones and just have them ready for next time Mickey's on.
I'm quite surprised. Is Uncle Fester back on Friday? He should be. I don't know. But yeah, I'm surprised he's... Oh, God. Look at this one.
I'm not looking forward to Friday at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, guys, as I say, Mickey, I'm surprised he's not in the... Because usually he dips in, doesn't he, and messages and stuff.
I was just going to ask,
stuff,
but, is he seeing
I think he's we're going to know by now, weren't if he was, after that.
Moving it back to the football, there's some more comments about Mickey.
I think he is. I don't know if you heard of it. I believe he's out of contract this summer. Does he get another contract? I mean, I would argue and say probably yes, him and Leonard, 1 year each extension.
Yeah, they're the two that I think are front runners for the extension. I'm not sure. We have no money, but we want to waste money on a player and he plays half a season. Look, again, I really agree with that. I understand where you're coming from. We can't carry passengers. Mason Bennett is a prime example of that. But in the situation we're in, I don't think they're going to have much choice. And out of that five, Hutch hasn't played enough at all. Bart, his knees are gone. Yeah. Bradshaw is now potentially picking up injury after injury. Savant and Leonard.
To your point there, Stephen, technically we're saving money by letting go of Bart, who is on a decent deal, because don't forget, he re-signed again with us as our first choice keeper a couple of years ago. So he's on decent money. Hutchie will be on decent money, being our captain for how many years? Bradshaw, you know, I don't know what he's on, but again, you know, as a striker, they usually get paid more than defenders or, you know, whatever. So just saving money on those three players alone would be great. Now, if Saville will take a little bit of a pay cut and maybe Leonard as well, I don't know how that works. But at least we know what they're about. They're kind of tried and tested, you know, and I really do hope that we have a better squad next summer where we can probably utilise those players more of squad players rather than first team players. Because I just think they're so important to have in the dressing rooms, have, you know, when we need them to step in. And the versatility is so good as well with Leonard, isn't it?
Absolutely. Apparently, Jay is a Call of Duty demon. Oh. Jay?
I have to Google that one.
Simon Moore, you guys are brilliant.
I don't know what to say to that.
Make my day when I'm depressed living in the USA the whole time. Again, bless you, Simon. We appreciate the support from near and far. It doesn't matter where you're from. We're all Millwall fans here. It's all good banter, guys. We appreciate the podcast you lot put out. It's all for the club. So come on, you Lions, 100%.
Exactly, Michael.
We weren't 2-0 up versus Blackburn. No, we were two goals up. Yeah, it was 3-1. It was two goals, yeah. Oh, God, Mickey, he's too sexy for his shirt. Is he on tour tonight? Honestly, he's going to listen to this back. He'd have you all. Mickey's in a straight jacket at the moment. Michael, Chiklis. I have Googled him.
I'm not going to Google it. I have.
Interestingly, we have. Yeah, sorry, go on.
I want to get the spelling of this. Michael.
Ben Green, Northern. He's an actor. Our very own Northern correspondent is in the chat. Ben, if you want to come on, if you drop me a text, I'll send you the link. Or if you look back in the chat.
Michael Chiklis.
I'll tell you what, it does look
a spawn of him.
Looks like him.
Sam has a trigger in his contract. Jay, you've got a. There's an absolutely classic comment coming for you, Brian. We've got Danny Mack left back. Blackburn going to be just as hard as Watford and Southampton. These are the games we always find difficult. They'll be fighting for their lives 100%. Jay looks like a Tom Cruise extra.
Bloody hell.
Here he is. Evening, Ben.
Tom Cruise is a stunt double.
Stunt double, yeah. After he's had an accident doing a stunt. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Andy, very sad to say, love Fleming, but have to sell him if we can get 10 million to build the squad. I know, gutting. I'll be honest with you.
I don't think we will get 10 million, but I agree.
No.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Oh, here we go, boys. Easier. He's in the chat. You've had it now.
His ears must be burning. That's what it is. His ears were burning.
Mickey, he's not doing his Louis Spence impressions. Nah, Jay is young Henry the Eighth. Chris Brown, Stephen, I told you I was going to lay off Mickey, but you said.
I thought we were saving this for Friday. Which is just the floodgates have opened now, and that's it. We're on, and now Mickey's in the chat. And that's it. It's just game over.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Chiklis, I love that Chiklis.
We've got to that point where we've just descended from any sort of football talk to just any old waffle.
Let's try get back on track again.
I am going to try and get back on track. So Blackburn on Tuesday, we've spoke about a point, 3 points, what we need. I'm going to ask you both a question. Joe, I'll come to you first on this. Obviously, we had the team at Southampton. We had one change yesterday. How many do you think Harris will make? And also, and Jay, I'll come to you as well. How many would you make?
So I'll go first. So I'm waiting for Jay to ask.
I should put you on the spot there, didn't I? Go on, Jay.
Sorry, man. So they all say you need 72 hours for a player to recover after a game. So that should be more than enough time. Joe looks like Borat. 72 hours is more than enough time for these players to go at it again. The only thing I would change, what I'd say, is that it didn't work with Watmore. It didn't work. So I would bring Longman back in again on that left side and just keep the same team. You know, they didn't look leggy in the last game. I mean, I thought Saville probably slightly a little bit leggy. So you could argue you could probably take Saville out and put Denore in and Longman in. But the back four has to stick with what it is. That back four needs to keep playing. If they're fit, they've got to carry on playing for the remainder of the season. And what happens ahead of them, you could probably tinker a little bit. Let's be honest, you can't do much up front. You've got Fleming and Obafemi, who I think can form a really good partnership because they complement each other. One being pacey, the other one being more technical on the ball, et cetera, et cetera. But the midfield is what does it for me a little bit. I think we can tinker a little bit in the midfield, but not too much.
Sorry, we've been distracted because Mickey is sending us separately, guys, a load of screenshots of our chat with our faces superimposed with other people. So it's just we've had a professional output here tonight. It's been all, you know, smooth sailing, and God. Mickey has still managing to ruin it. Simon, I'm going to come to your question. Who would you play up front Tuesday? Obafemi is not going to head the long ball.
You've got to play him, Simon, but you've got to play him to his strengths. You can't be hitting, pumping high balls up to him. The ball's got to played behind the defence, allow him to run onto it. We saw a glimpse of what he's done in the last game against Watford and also against Southampton. He has got the pace and he can hurt the defenders behind them, but the ball has to be played on the floor behind the defenders for him to make those runs.
I think that he'll make one change, personally. And I think that Ryan Longman will come back in. I think it'll be the same team as Southampton. It's not the changes I would make. I want to give that midfield a rest. I think Casper Denore needs to come in to, because we need to start passing the ball and getting ourselves up the field. I think Casper can do that. I think that would be the two changes I make.
But who are you coming for, in your opinion, Jay?
What more would drop out? Yeah. And I would probably drop Billy out.
Would you?
Yeah, I would drop Billy out. He was great Saturday and he was great the week before, but we're going to need him. He's clearly a very big cog in Harris's team. We're going to need him for the long haul. 3 games in a week. Casper is a great player. You know, give Billy some rest. But yeah, I would. They're the two changes I'll make. I just think he makes one.
Is there an argument, though, Jay, to say that, you know, Sav getting on a little bit, he's what, 30, 31 years old now? 31.
Yeah, there is.
He looks a bit leggy, has been looking leggy this season, Sav. Mitchell, you know, what he lacks in technical ability sometimes, he makes up in effort, in stamina, in energy. Would it be a little bit more wiser to maybe for Sav to drop out and bring Casper in?
Yeah, totally agree with you.
I think Billy can go again. I think he's that fit.
He probably could, mate. And do you know what? You saying that, I'll eat some words there and I'd probably change that and I'd probably agree with you there, actually.
On Saturday, maybe a bit more revitalised, fresh to go again.
Yeah, I probably would. And do you know what? I'm not ashamed to go back on something I've just said. But no, I think you might actually be... That's probably the more logical thing to do.
Possibly, I don't know.
Because I think Billy's got probably more of a part to play than people think.
And Harris loves him, doesn't he?
Absolutely loves it. You see him after Saturday, he's got his arms around his neck again when he took him off. And I just think that the fact that he come off says he probably does start on Tuesday.
Point.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe he's planned that ahead, isn't he?
He's planned that ahead. So I think there are the two changes he would make if it was me. I would make would be one of them midfielders drops out. To your point, Joe, Saville, that would be a perfect swap. But I don't think Watmore starts. I think Longman has featured in both games for Harris and done a very good job. So I think he goes back to what we did at Southampton.
Where does Watmore fit in to this new system with Harris, though?
I don't think he does. Honestly, I think he's going to be used as a forward player to just curb the gap between losing Bradshaw and having no one. He can offer us something in the last 20 minutes. I think that's his best sort of time for us. I think he's a last 20-minute player. Go and stretch the field, run the ball into the corner. If we're winning, for instance,
gives us
an outlet. But I don't think he fits. And I think Harris saw that Saturday. I think I honestly think he wanted to take him off at half-time. But I don't think he thought it was probably... would be detrimental to him if he did.
Yeah.
Because he looked shattered after half an hour. So I don't think he'll start under Harris again.
I'm going to... Richard, I saw your message there. I haven't had an email come through, so apologies. It might have gone into my junk, but I didn't see anything. And I begrudgingly put this up from Mark. Compliments to Joe, as my other half thinks you look like Gareth Bale.
I wish I had his fucking money, I tell you.
And a lot of the
I'll take that over Uncle Fester any day, Michael.
A lot of the comments that have come through whilst you guys were talking are talking about perhaps Watmore coming out, Saffer Denor again, Casper. We need legs. I have to agree with you guys saying I love George Saville, favourite player in the squad. Is he going to be able to play Harris's game of legwork football? Chasing the ball 3 games in a week, I just don't see it. And I think you'd rather see Sav perhaps in the home games where he gets the crowd on side and, you know, that leader at the Den, that person who turns it a little bit nasty, the tackles and things like that. I think that would be a change for me. It's interesting because if you take Sav out, though, and you put Denore in, Denore's not going to do the necessarily the same kind of role as Sav. He's going to look to get on the ball and be a bit more technical. So the game plan might have to change.
I think you lose leadership there as well. I think Sav keeps Billy in check a lot. He's talking. There he's that go. Link between. Yeah, that's that. And that's exactly what I was just getting to, David. That's what the point I was just trying to make is that he's the link between the defence and the attack. He's the link in the centre of the park that he can talk to everybody. He's everywhere. And he was everywhere Saturday. He was brilliant. I think with Casper and Billy playing together, you probably do lose some of that. because yeah. I don't really see Honeyman as that type of leader.
And also, sorry to interrupt, Joe. I keep doing that. I don't want to forget But the game against Watford, for example, they had Jake Livermore playing in the centre of the park. If you watch Jake Livermore, he is a nasty piece of work.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he uses physicality really well. He loves to bully players. There's so many times when you can see him taking Honeyman out and he'll, you know, conveniently sort of step on his ankle as he's getting off him and things like that. He was fucking horrible. You know, a few little elbows and from the high balls. But what I noticed was that Saville was not afraid to compete against him.
Yeah,
he went up against him quite often. And when he was trying to bully Billy Mitchell, and it happened a few times, Saville made sure that he went up against Jake to not let Billy get bullied.
Yeah,
and if you hear what the players say, and you know, without naming names, but one or two players said that they actually prefer playing with Saville because of what he gives them as a presence on the pitch. So just to your point there, Jay, I completely agree.
Just before I but I'm not going to forget it, from Rambo Ryan. Great podcast, guys. Jay has been a good addition to the team. Agree 100%. Nice. Thank you very much for the support.
I agree
as well.
Thank you, guys.
Longman nailed on to start. I think Harris will like him away from home because of his work rate. Agree 100%. Ben, Richard Lacey, Mark, you need to kick her dog. I think that's in relation to calling you Gareth Bale lookalike. Yeah. I hope so anyway. Yes, and it's interesting that we fought back when the MFC 1-1 against Southampton. Fingers crossed we got passion to get back to when we go behind 100%.
That's right. Different mentality, isn't it?
Have any of our loan players the right to buy in the summer? To my knowledge, no. None of them had the agreement.
That's a great question. That's a great question. So let's touch on that for a second, if we can. Out of the loan players we've got, let's assume we stay in a championship and we've got some finances. Would you make an offer to any of these clubs for any of these players? And if so, what would you do?
First of all, We think realistically, who can we get from those loan players? I mean, Fat Campbell, he can do one, you know. Yeah, but yeah. I'm talking about Obafemi, you know, Tanganga. They're decent players, and once they're fit and they're injury free, there'll be, you know, either lower Premiership teams looking at them or Championship teams looking at them. Look at who's the lad at Luton side? Is it
Ogbeni,
who played for Rotherham last season. Now, we were looking at Ogbeni. Is that Ogbeni? Is that his name? We were looking at him last season, weren't we? And we might have had a chance of getting him.
But Chris was step up. Chris was prepared, wasn't he? Chris was prepared to literally like drive to anywhere in the world and pick him up. And exactly.
The point I'm making is someone like him made the step up to the Premier League, and he's doing pretty well for Luton at the moment, you know. So who's to say if Tanganga and Obafemi can get fit, they could make an impact in the Premier League. I'm not saying they could do it for their clubs. Obviously, Burnley will come down more than likely, so they probably won't want to start Obafemi more next season in the Championship. So I think we're going to find it really difficult to try and size play. The only one we can probably might have a go at getting, because I can't see him getting into the team, is Norton Cuffey. I really can't see how he's going to fit into Arteta's squad, let alone first 11.
Yeah. The problem is, sorry, Jay, just to interject on that, I was talking about this on Saturday. Norton Cuffey is a victim of Harris Ball.
Yeah,
he's not going to play at right back. And is he going to want to come to a club and be essentially a reserve winger for 20 minutes?
No.
I really like Brooke Norton Cuffey. I think there's a really good player in there, and he will develop and have a decent career at this level. But I think he's going to suffer with Harris. And I just want to...
You say that, Stephen, and I know what you're getting at. You're making a very excellent point there. But again, it's not about the start of the season. It's where we are at the season. And I think, you know, there'll be certain games that he might start with Norton Cuffey over Honeyman on that right-hand side. Like Birmingham at home, for example, you might think, you know what, we could play a little more on the front foot here on this one. Or like I said, if it's a start of the season and we all start on 0 points again, then yes, you kind of want to play your most expressive players. Again, we just think about the now. It's about being hard to beat. It's about grinding out results and players are going to work hard. And Norton Cuffey, to be fair, yes, he does work hard and he sort of trap, but you saw it when he came on against Watford. He was trying to help out Leonard, but he wasn't giving us the defensive cover that Honeyman was giving us when he was playing on that right-hand side, was he? You know, you can see that they're a different type of player. He wasn't busting a gut to get back. And I don't know. I just feel that, yes, he can offer us more going forward, but defensively, I can see why Harris not picking him over Honeyman, for example, at the moment.
And this is a good point. Kane wasn't near the Spurs first team when we had a look how he ended up.
But Chris, to your point there, mate, he did go to Norwich on loan after us.
And Leicester as well.
And then eventually got into the Spurs team. So I hear what you're saying, but Kane wasn't anywhere good enough then. And he wasn't even after the Norwich loan either.
I think Longman will be made available. Look at what Hull have spent. Look at players Hull have brought in. I think Longman's going to be well up for a good price.
And Jay, to your point, their podcast guy, I can't remember what his name is now, the whole podcast, you might know it.
Santony, yeah.
Yeah, he made a point of saying that they've invested a lot of money and they really kind of like throw the dice this season to go up. If they don't go up this season, they're financially fucked.
Yeah, big time.
They're in a big, big problem. Do you know what I mean?
So, I really like Longman.
The likes of Longman will probably get released on the free.
Yeah, I like him.
I can see that happening, you know. And I think
I'll be honest. I can't get on board with, you know, Longman. He might sort of run around and give you the... I just don't see it. The guy from the whole podcast said he was amazed that another Championship club took a punt on him.
I don't think he's that bad.
I'm not convinced.
He works hard. He could be quite effective. I think his crossing's not bad, you know, when he plays on the right-hand side.
He's versatile.
When he's on the left-hand side, I like the way he kind of cuts in onto his right foot and has a go. Yeah, he scored... Okay, yeah, he scored one or two goals for us, but yeah, he can be an effective player.
Yeah, I don't mind him at all.
Yeah,
there's an absolutely brilliant comment, guy, again from Michael. He seems to be coming out with some absolute belters. We're sort of coming towards the end of this show tonight, and I just thought for a couple of minutes we can have a discussion. And the guys in the comments, I really hope Mickey's still watching at this point. I really, really do. So, Michael Dunn. Yes, it's been a good panel as usual, guys. It's always a good podcast on here. Talking about lineup changes, would you bring Mickey back on this panel or keep the same? Guys, if we can get a couple of minutes, if you guys can comment in the chat, would you keep the lineup the same for the next show or would you bring Mickey in for one of us? We can take it if you're fed up with one of us, or yes or no. Yeah. And while the guys are doing that, and obviously the comments will catch up, guys, both Joe and Jay, thank you very much for joining this evening. Obviously, Blackburn on Tuesday, Birmingham on Saturday. Jay, I will come to you first. Final words of positivity for the week for the podcast and the chat.
Well, look, I think we're all in unison with that. This isn't sustainable, but this is two wins on the board. This isn't about football style. This isn't about tactics. This isn't about attack. This is about staying in the division. This is about financial implications. This is about a Millwall identity. And this is about putting our best foot forward and going to war for 11 weeks. And there is no one better than Neil Harris. We've touched on that every show now. And now it's time to put that sort of conversation aside and accept that regardless of the style of play, If it means 3 points, it means 3 points. The off-season can be discussed in the off-season. Right now, we need to get behind the team, get behind Harris, be horrible, horrible bastards at the Den, like Saturday, and we need to grind out results. I said, I don't care if the keeper kicks it out, it's a seagull, and goes in off his arse for an own goal in the 90th minute to win every game. But we need to accept that this is just about staying in this division. So, let's pack the Den on Saturday. Let's get good numbers up there on Tuesday. And let's get behind the boys. That's all from me. Come on, you Lions.
Good luck. Good luck, Joe, following that. But final words of positivity.
What he said. Just copy and paste that one. Just echo what you said, Jay. I agree with you. You know, like I said, it's another cup final. You know, it's another game we've got to go and win. And let's not leave it to the end of the season. Let's get safety now. Let's get these wins and we can enjoy the last few games of the season and play a bit more expressive, expansive football. At the minute, it's about winning these games. Like Jay said, who gives a fuck about whether we're playing sexy football, champagne football or not? It's not about that. It's about winning. Sometimes you've got to win ugly, you've got to win dirty, but most importantly, get the points on the board. Let's secure safety and we'll have another go next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I do my last bit, I've got some comments, obviously, about keeping the chat the same or keeping the panel the same. Ben, how many we sold for Tuesday? I don't actually know, Ben. At least there'll be you, me and Omar there, and I'm sure a couple of other stragglers. That Millwall podcast, this is Mickey. Reckon I might be looking for a few new panel members this week once I've listened to this show back. So we asked the question. I've starred 19 messages from about the keeping the panel the same. We have Mickey on the bench. Mickey is our leader. Can't get rid of Mickey. Best to wind up. Keep Mickey on the bench and bring him on with 20 minutes to go.
Should we call Mickey Watmore from now on? Mickey Watmore.
Keep Mickey on the bench until he loses about 2 stone. Mickey brings the glamour and the looks.
I agree.
You can bring him back, but turn him around so he can see the back of him. I'd start Mickey for experience and take him off at half time, put him fresh legs on. Mickey, great words of Alan Sugar, you're fired. I stand with Mickey. Can't get rid of Mickey. Release Mickey on a free. Bring Mickey on as a sub. Offer Mickey up as an extra in Snatch 2. Bring back Greg Wallace. He can knock us up an omelette. Seriously, you can't lose Mickey on the seats. Used to be found on a board. Used to be bloke on a podcast. Which is fantastic. Guys, brilliant. It's been amazing tonight. The comments have been so good.
Really enjoyed it.
Andy, this is great. Bring on a guest every time. We'll mark them out of 10. Choose anyone from the chat. Andy, we'll pick you first, mate. Get in contact with us and you can come on and we'll... Mickey's done. Now getting his own back by posting a load of stuff on Twitter about us three. Great show, lads. Stay the same. Cheers, lads. Proper laugh tonight. Top three guys. Only one on Lions TV. Give Mickey a 1-year contract extension. Red card, Mickey. I'm going to leave the last comment that I'm going to leave is from Daniel. Again, great show, lads. Guys, I've said it so many times. Joe, Jay, Chris, Omar, Mickey, Ben, Dan, all of us really, really appreciate the support that you give to the channel, you give to our podcast. It's really, really appreciated. We do look at all the comments. We do take feedback on board. If there's something you guys don't like, let us know. We'll try and change it. We'll try and make it better for you. There's been a couple of comments about, again, another one here. Jay's been a brilliant addition. I really agree, Jay. It's been amazing to have you on. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Joe, as always, a pleasure to do these podcasts with you.
To agree what you're saying, Steve. I mean, like, you know, we as much as you're giving up your time, you know, listening to this and watching this and interacting with us, we're giving up our time being here. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't enjoy doing it. You know, I could be with my wife at the moment, you know, spending time with her on a Sunday evening. And there's I'd be fucking here. So this could be shit, but I'll fucking make sure I'm here to get some time away from her.
Just so you all know that Joe's wife doesn't listen to the show. Yeah, he's not that brave.
What I like. Yeah.
But no, I really appreciate it. Positivity from me to end the show. I'm looking forward to going to Blackburn. If any of you guys are going up there, please come and say hello. It's really great to interact with you guys. I think 4 points this week would be an amazing, amazing return for the Lions and then go into that Leeds fixture. As I say, please like, please subscribe. Please check us out on all the socials, share with your friends. There's so many people that that come up to us and say, oh, we've only found you recently, or you know, watched the last show. So there's a lot of good stuff that goes on our social media. Chat with Chaps is outstanding content. If you love a little bit of data and analytics on games, he's really, really good at what he does. We've got Who Are You? We do the lives. We do bits and pieces, pre-records. So please continue to support us. We really appreciate it.
So I keep stopping your flow. I'm sorry, mate. But also look at our YouTube channel. There's actually some player interviews in there as well. So you've got like sort of Cherno Samba interviews. You've got Alex Ray. There's the Paul Eiffel, Joe Dolan. There's one that I've done with John Goodman, which, you know, I think there's some decent ones there. And there's plans to do some more player interviews over the coming months as well. So definitely have a look at YouTube with those ones as well, because they're really good to watch and listen to as well.
Absolutely. And on that note, we will be back with another live show on Friday. Obviously, the Lions play on Tuesday at Blackburn, hoping to keep up Neil Harris's winning streak, or at least unbeaten streak, for a third game before we hit Friday Night Live. Thanks again, guys. That way's been Joe. That's been Jay. I'm Stephen. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Cheers, guys.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.